Thank you so very much. We appreciate the opportunity to serve in your midst, and we thank God that God has been here with us tonight to lead us in the first part of tonight's session. It's Apostle Mike Amadi. Welcome, sir. Apostle Mike Amadi is an official of NEMA in Southeast Nigeria, and also the president of Fortifiers Outreach Ministries, based in Owerri. You're welcome, sir.
That clapping is too small for Jesus. I will give a big clap of praise. I will sing a song in Igbo. How many of us are from the Igbo? Kanogide nime Jesus. Kamata, kamata nuna bulu yawe. Kantukwa, santukwa tinobim na ya. Wezi here, obi abo. Kanogide nime Jesus. Kamata, kamata, nunabuya. Kantukwa, si ubim na yae. Weti here, obi abo. Kanogi, denime jiza. Kamata, kamata, kwanobuya.
I want to bring regards from my wife, Stella Madi, as she shared greetings to every one of you in Jesus' name. Without wasting time, we want to go into this very crucial time. The topic, raising priestly intercessors for global missions, or priestly intercessor for making discipleship. Hallelujah. Father, bless your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Let me start from this way. Have you seen any company, no matter how big the company is in the world, where we are, in this part of God's extension of this earth colony of God's kingdom, we have a lot of cheap companies, big companies, banks, corporate organizations that are in the world, Have you seen any one of these companies, no matter how large, big the company is, and they write in their mission statement and say, our mission statement here is making discipleship of all nations. And do you know that even in the world today, There have been gigantic structures. There have been many companies that have raised big, something bigger than all what the church have raised by seeing it by human capacity, structure, finance, influence. But none of this company, no matter how big, no matter how sophisticated. In fact, when you want to talk about internet, system, technology, they even have more than what at times the church. When you want to talk about education, everything is there. But none of this organization can, in any form, right, making what? Discipleship. For what? For all nations. Why? Simply because these companies, they are not priestly. Everybody say priestly. They are not anointed with the priestly services of God, and they have nothing to do with the redemptive agenda of God. They can have any other source to derive power, to generate spiritual force for their assignment. But their assignment is not priestly, because it's not connected to God's agenda, and it's not connected to the redemptive purpose of God. The only organization in the world which is not an organization per se, but an organism, a body, that has the capacity and the anointing to be able to carry out the redemptive agenda of God, and also the mediatory service of God, is only one body, the church. Everybody say the church. Why? Because the church is anointed with priestly oil. When in 2009, in my hotel room in Tel Aviv, Israel, God spoke to me. He said, go back to Nigeria and steer up the believers to take up her strategic priestly position, and raising global army of intercessors, starting from what? From Africa. And I said, God, when I came back to Nigeria, I began to dedicate myself for that assignment about raising priestly intercessors. The subject I want to discuss, because we don't have enough time, the subject I want to discuss just in few with the little time I have, is the subject that we run school of prayer with certificate students, what we call missions prayer school for 6 months. And also we carry our program in the churches, what we call school of prayer without curriculum, 3 day of 1 week program, raising and stirring up priestly intercessors in the church for global missions mandate. But God will help me to be able to give you an overview, and tonight to be able to develop your priestly capacity for discipleship. Now the word in the book of, you just write down the scripture I go, because I will not be reading them. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 9, all of us, 1 Peter chapter 2 from verse 5 to 9, he say, ye are what? A royal what? A royal priesthood, a choosing what? Generation. In the beginning, when God called Adam, his assignment is to repeople, to reprocreate the entire earth. His assignment is just kingly, but his assignment is not priestly at all. The reason is because man was in his what? Perfect what? State. Man does not need what? A priest. Because that very concept, priesthood, came as an initiative from God when man what? Fell. Because God now need to provide a means of mediatory what? Service for redemptive purposes. Even when God destroyed the out with water, and Noah came on board, preached. Noah operated as a preacher of righteousness, not as a priest. He was able to save only himself, his wife, his two children, and their wives. And that was all. But when God in his mind said, because man now has the need for what? Mediatory service, priesthood. Everybody say priesthood. Everybody say priesthood. And God wants to introduce an order that will be kingly and priestly. And God brought on board a man called Abraham. And when God brought Abraham on board, Abraham came father of this priesthood and kingly nation. And before he went into his assignment, first thing that happened is that God positioned him where he came in contact with Melchizedek in Genesis chapter 14. And in Genesis chapter 14, the Bible said, this man, Melchizedek, is like unto what? The Son of the Living God. He has existed in Jerusalem as a king and as a priest. And God positioned Abraham around him and imparted Abraham with priestly anointing. Everybody say priestly anointing. Say priestly anointing. By then, Abraham had been given his mission to the world in Genesis chapter 12. That is to go and disciple what? Nations. And that disciple to nation must sit on what? In priesthood. And God said, you go to the entire world through your ministry, the entire world will be blessed. And Abraham came on board. And when Abraham came on board, a lot of things went for. That was the introduction of what? The inception of what? Priesthood. And when when the children of Israel went to Israel by virtue of the prophecy that God spoke to Abraham, when they were coming out, when they came out from Egypt, they came out to Mount Sinai. And God asked Moses, say, bring all the Israelites to me. And let me what? Let them come, all of them, into my presence so that I can anoint them with what? The priesthood fire. For the assignment, for the global assignment, for discipling what? Impacting nation. For restoring back worship to what? The worship of God to what? To nation. Guess what happened? By then, God already has spoken in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, that you are a royal what? Priest. A kingdom of what? Of priests. And when Moses called them into the presence of God, they all went afar and said, Moses, we are not what? Going to what? Go before God. We are not going to do that. Whatever what? God tells you what? Tell us. That point, Israel as a nation refused their priesthood. And Abraham have the need, because every kingship assignment, the assignment must be seated on what? On priesthood. Abraham, that was the inception when God now need to call the Levitical priesthood and said they shall come. And they came, and God said, Aaron, bring your children. He anointed them for that priesthood service. And when he had anointed them, they moved straight into what? In the what? In the tabernacle. And if you get into the tabernacle, we have the outer court, we have the middle court, and we have what? The holiest of holiest. If you discover at the outer court, you have the burnt what? Of the altar of burnt what? Offering. And in the middle court, where the mercy seat is, you will find what? The altar of what? Incense. In the altar of incense, the priest, the altar of, what is it called? The altar of burnt offering, blood sacrifice are offered there by the priest, the same priest. But at the altar of incense, in the middle court, there is no burnt offering of blood. It's only what? Incense. That is where they carry out the mediatory service for world mission. Because that very altar of incense is just positioned close to the holiest of holies, just by the curtain of the holiest of holies, where only the high priest can only enter once a year to offer for the sins of the entire Israel. There they have what we call the duty priest come around that incense one hour. They divide them in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, verse what? 10. You will see they go round, each of them will come. As they offer in their duty course, as they offer this burnt incense, it's intercession for what? That was a prophetic picture of I and you. And that was the power that backed up the Abrahamic commission. And it is the Abrahamic commission that was reenacted in Matthew chapter 28, verse what? Verse 19, when he said in Christ, go ye into what? Into all nations. It is a continuation of Abrahamic commission that the church is carrying along. But in Abraham's time, God needs to raise for him priestly what? Intercessors. As they are there fanning the ember of the incense, as God will sense that very incense, the power of God is moving toward the nation. And if you read that in Exodus chapter 30, you will read there, it says, as you burn this incense, you burn it for the generation toward to come. When I'm putting down this lay down, is for you to understand where you are. Because we are going to answer for ourselves, when did the priesthood of the New Testament collapse? Because that is our trouble. The collapse of the New Testament priesthood, and without the proper positioning in that position and functioning, that is the trouble of the church. And whenever they are there at the incense altar, round the clock, and the Bible said the incense goes 24 what? Hours, non-stop. And as the Lord sends it, there is power distributed to Elijah, to the prophets, to the Elijah. The kings get their power for assignment. The prophets get their power for the assignment. In fact, the apostolic front, that is the church, the missionary church, prophetically, that we say, that is where what? The power is flowing. And he said, this, as you burn it, you are doing it for the generation what? To come. For the generation what? To come. Listen to me. Somebody went to the restaurant eat. A young man, when he moved into the restaurant, as he was moving in, it was inscribed at the distance. He said, go in and eat everything because your fathers have paid for it. He moved in and ate and ate and ate. Moving up from the back door to go out, there was an inscription. You pay for the future, for the next generation. When they were in that mediatory world function for the generation to come, it was in that very priesthood service that the church came on board. Because it was prophetic. Because the kingship assignment that they have, the euphoria of the kingship assignment they have everywhere, moving the prophetic, the apostolic, everything was resting on that word, that very assignment. As they come, the ember of that incense go to God. And when the church came on board, Jesus did not say contrary to existing basic rule that was on board. When his disciple came to him and asked him and said, Lord, teach us how to what? To pray. He said, when you want to pray, you pray what? Our Father. If you see the Lord's Prayer is simply a priestly word, prayer. And the high point of the priestly prayer is centered around what? Worship and intercession. I hear people say about prayer. Prayer is simply communication, opening the word, the channel. Our priestly function, when we come to Christ, we step into a position of what? Priesthood. And it's not a title, it's a position. The word, the function. The purpose of the priesthood of the New Testament, the believer's priesthood in the New Testament, is simply what? To stand what? For missions, for nations. And that is why in this very conference, I want to clearly state it, because it's going to be very, very it's a practical one. I want to ask you, as a believer, are you a functional priest? When Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he told them, why don't you watch with me what? Only 1 hour. Do you know that nothing can happen in our kingship assignment in the forefront, no matter the sophistication of our mission trust, no matter what we are doing in the front, because all of us we are carrying this very assignment. Whether you are in the politics, in the marketplace, anywhere you find yourself, as a housewife, you are on mission, and by the special grace of God, the motivation this last day is harnessing the potential that are latent, the ignorance that have been upon the church, bring light so that everyone can what? Engage wherever you are to make what? To disciple the nations. But everything we'll do, if we remove the priesthood functioning, we cannot do anything. Because the priesthood is where at the assignment word we stand. It is only in our priesthood function that we can word stand. And that is where everything that will be done, salvation of souls, people coming to God, must first of all be battered word in our priesthood. As far as I know, this is my 38 years now in full-time priestly work. Everything I know when we started from the onset is that we do a lot of priestly assignment. Prayer to soak the field before we go what? To the field. Question again I want to ask. When did the priesthood of the church collapse? If you don't have the answer, I have the answer. Because I have been in the ancient, I am also what? In the modern. Because I know that when the church, let me say from the Nigerian context, when the church believes that we have enough technology, we have not enough whatever, we believe that our minds are now refined. We believe that now we have everything with money to be able to press our button. Little by little, we have our big cathedrals. We have everything physical in the body of Christ that it takes to do the work of the kingdom. We relaxed. And under the basking of the euphoria of this very assignment, we forfeit our word, our priesthood. Priesthood simply means staying in his word, in his presence. Standing with him, standing by him, and also standing for what? For others. Immediately, the more we are growing, the more we are becoming big, the more our assignment is becoming expanded. That is the reason why we need to be more closer what? Into our priesthood. Because that is the only place that the power is what? Is derived from. That is the only place that we can bat what? These disciples for what? For nation. Because it is in our priestly position that we can engage with God in worship. It is where we can engage with God and say, God, intercession simply means yada, carrying at what? At our shoulder, in the shoulder to cross over. It is where we can carry the nation what? From the dark to what? Over. And that is the reason why today we are producing weak harvest. The church is filled today with internet Christians. With Christians that are what do they call fast food Christians. Christians who do not know how to stand the test of time. Because when Jesus himself revealed to us about the issue of the missions, he revealed it on warfare word contest. He said, I will build my word, my church, and the gate of her word, and spiritual kingdom must be handled through what? Spiritual empowerment. And where will you gain that very power? It is your ability to engage in your priestly position. Let me put it before you. Let me ask you a question. How many of you today, since how long were you able to stand, just give Jesus 1 hour word today, throughout? Just put all your hours together in the day. They say you can extract 1 hour that word. You say, and that 1 hour you are talking about that, God, give me what? My community. God, give me my what? Souls in the church. God, give me the soul of people around the fair of where I work. God, give me souls in the family. Says how long? And how can we be effective in the field if our priesthood have become what? Weak. And the altar is what? Is destroyed. And that is why this very conference is steering us. As we engage, let us begin to engage in different strategies we have been taught to enter into the field. Let us reposition ourselves back to our priestly function. Because that is the only place we can derive power. In fact, that is where we got the message of where to go and where what not to go. It is in that very, in his presence, in our priestly function, it is where we know the restriction of our assignment and the instructions of our word, of our assignment. Today, the prayer I'm going to pray, we are going to pray because it's a few minutes now, we are going to do a practical because I am a practical person. I run school of prayer in churches. I set up priestly intercessors for church, for global missions, and the assignment of the local church for churches and ministries. That's my assignment. You are going to, because I see potentials that are sitting down with a weak priesthood. That is why we say we send our politicians into the government house. They are Christians when they get there, but they become what? They become unbelievers coming out because they lost their priesthood. That is why they go into our students, they go into university, they come out become cultists. Why? Because something is wrong from the foundation. Our priesthood is the position. It's our position in Christ where God placed us by birth. And we need to function therein. And I want us to pray in this time. Two prayer points. We are going to pray, say, Lord, stir up the priestly passion in me. Let me tell you, I have a lot of things to say, but there's no time to say it. Do you discover that when church lost their priesthood, Bubu Yayas came into the church? Do you know what is called Bubu Yaya? Bubu Yaya is the prayer stuff that is not redemptive, that is not mediatory, that has to do with demons, that has to do with problem-centered, that has to do with self-centered, that has to do, because the church lost her priesthood, occultic priests in that word, can now operate in the church, give prophecy. Our mission, the mission of the church has been hijacked by falsehood in many, many quarters because the priesthood of the church become what? Porous and weak. We are going to pray, say God, the priesthood passion, the priesthood anointing on me, it is latent in that very place. Say God, you are going to, God, stir it up. How many of us are ready to pray? You cannot engage in this assignment without what? The priestly function. Your priestly function. Can you rise up on your feet? We want to go into 2 minutes practical. Begin to thank God. Thank God for your life. Lift up your hand and say, Lord, thank you for bringing me into this time when you are repositioning the church to take up, to engage in the finishing task, to finishing the task. In Jesus' name. Say, Lord, open up your mouth. Lord, restore back in my life the priestly fire, the priestly oil to function. Open up your mouth and begin to pray that very prayer. Open up your mouth and begin to pray that prayer. Open up your mouth and begin to pray that prayer. The priestly oil and the priestly fire to engage for world mission, to engage in making disciples of all nations. Open up your mouth, pray, say, Lord, restore my prayer life. Restore me back into my priesthood life. Open up your mouth and begin to pray. Our power is not derived from the assignment. Our power is derived from the priesthood. Say, Lord, restore, oh God, the power of priesthood, the ability to stand in your presence. Open up your mouth and begin to pray. The ability to stand in your presence, to have delight in your presence. Open up your mouth and begin to pray. It is staying in your function, in your intercessory and mediatory service. It is where God can impact on you to develop what we call a harvest eyes. Open up your mouth and say, God, develop my spiritual eyes, priesthood eyes, to be able to see afar. Open up your mouth and begin to pray that very prayer. To see afar. Your spiritual eye lens is sharpened through your priesthood function. As the Lord said, it should sharpen your spiritual eyes so that you can see nations, so that you can see the harvest field. Say, Lord, cause my eyes of understanding, my priesthood eyes, that is where the eyes of our understanding, that is where it is developed, to be able to see nations. Open up your mouth and say, Lord, open my eyes to see. It is in your function as a priest. The passion for the lost is restored when you are engaged in intercession, in priestly intercession for nations, for the unreached. That is where you can develop your priestly capacity. The impartation of burden for the lost. Say, Lord, impart on me the burden for the lost. That's a part of what the program is in this very weekend. That I receive the burden and impartation. Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Hold somebody by your side. Hold somebody by your right. Somebody by your left. This will be the last prayer point. You are going to pray for that, your brother or your sister you are holding. Say, God, develop his or her priestly capacity for this kingly assignment of this discipling nations. Pray, say, God, develop the priestly capacity of my brother. This priestly capacity needs to be developed. It's developed when you are functioning. Open up your mouth and begin to pray for your brother. Open up your mouth. Say, Lord, develop my priestly capacity. Develop my priestly capacity. Pray that prayer with all your heart. The power of God, the anointing of God, the God of the harvest is here to impact us this weekend. Let the priestly capacity be developed in your life. Be developed in your brother. Be developed among us today. Open up your mouth. Develop in us the priestly capacity to function in this very end time assignment. Develop in us the priestly capacity to be able to see the global harvest, to see the harvest around us. Develop in us the priestly capacity to be able to stand to minister to you and to minister to the world. Develop the priestly capacity that will open our eyes to see. To be able to see our failure and our backsliding. Develop in us the priestly capacity to be able to stand in your presence. To be able to minister to the world. In Jesus' name, permit me to raise this one more prayer. Apostle Paul told them, he said, I pray for you that your eyes of understanding might be what? Might be opened, that you might see the riches. Many of us are talking about the money. He's talking about, you say, your eye lens as a priest. Your eye lens. Say, God, develop my eagle eye. We call it eagle eye. His priestly eagle eye to be able to see. Let me tell you, God was speaking to the church to go to the north. Far, 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 far time. God was telling the church in the west, say, move in the west and the east with the numerous money, resources. He said, go to north and evangelize. The church lost priesthood. We sit down basking under the euphoria of our world, our cathedral, and our money. By then, God has seen Boko Haram afar. Because what the kingdom of God does is that he enthrones the government of kingdom of God when he spread through mission in a particular place. He brings that place under the cover of God. And the powers of darkness will not be able to operate. When the church fails, that is the consequence today. May you ask God, say, God is propelling some of us through our ego eye to see some areas that need to be covered before it is too late. Before the harvest will fall and be destroyed and trouble will keep coming up upon the church. Say, Lord, develop my spiritual ego eye, my priestly ego eye. Pray that very prayer now. Lord, that our spiritual, priestly ego eye will be sharpened. It is sharpened through functioning, through prayer, through intercession. We can now see the harvest. We can see the area of urgency. Our fourth dimensional islands. In Jesus' name. Do you know that the singular assignment that Jesus is seated at the throne right today is doing is singly a priestly assignment? The Bible says he sits at the right hand of God doing what? Interceding for us. And he is interceding for the church, not for the world. While the intercession for the world is for the church. Lift up your hand, I want to pray. I want to call my brother. My brother, Brother Mike, please come and pray.
Every uncle book it cut him and took a puzzle. Say ta copo matamo, dikita comina to say, Shupatuma andre keteko popos. Eternal God, we stand in need of your help. Jehovah God, we desire to function effectively in our priestly office, that your mission in our hands might advance effectively, significantly. I pray tonight, mighty Father, that the grace of intercession will come afresh upon each and every one of us. Open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Grant an outpouring of the Spirit of grace and supplication. I ask for a restoration of our priestly capacity to stand in the presence of God, capacity to tarry in the presence of God. Restore upon each and every one in Jesus' name. Anoint our eyes with eyesight. Enable us to have harvest eyes. You said to the disciples, lift up your eyes and look at the field. They are white already for harvest. Deliver each and every one of us from indifference to the eternal destiny of lost souls. And help us, mighty God, to develop harvest eyes. Eyes that seize the harvest and are moved to respond with Jesus' compassion to reap the harvest. Grant to us in Jesus' name. Eternal Father, you said they that wait upon you shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Jehovah God, you are the restorer, the renewer of our strength. We wait on you here tonight, that our strength in you might be renewed for the journey ahead of us in the harvest of the nations. I pray that each and every one of us will experience a renewal in our strength in our capacity in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We worship you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Please be seated. Hallelujah. That's the first component of our time together tonight. Hallelujah. As you move further from here, as we move further from here, I want us to recognize that what was shared with us as a lot to do with our effectiveness in the harvest of the nations. Prayer is the most influential thing that is the most influential thing that a Christian can do on earth. And when we talk of releasing the latent potential of the church for the harvest of the nations, there is a whole lot. We will need handkerchiefs for subsequent sessions. Some of the ones we came with are already soaked and wet. I said that we would need each member of the church, each member of the congregation. You have a part to play. Especially our grandmas and grandpas, with very little strength, like the young people, can generate a lot of spiritual power for the furtherance of the mission of God. If they are standing in their priestly calling. When we use the word priestly, we're using it not in the sense of, ecclesiastical ordination. But we're using it more in line with what the Bible, how the Bible defines the New Testament believer as royal priesthood. One of the ways in which we can have a global reach, a global impact as a congregation is to set up prayer teams for specific regions of the world. We have limited time. I could take you to Asia and help you to see the waiting harvest in Asia. I could take you to Europe and help you to see the waiting harvest in Europe. Thank you, sir. I could take you across Africa, and especially north of Africa, Middle East, and the Arabian Peninsula, the Arab world, and help you to see the waiting harvest in the Arabian Peninsula, in the Arab world, and North Africa. We had a meeting some times back, and I invited a friend. His wife is a medical doctor. He teaches physics, chemistry, biology. They are tent makers in what we call the Pashtuns region. The Pashtuns region is bordering Pakistan and Afghanistan. It's a border town, it's a border region. It's just like when you have the Lake Chad, you have some part in Nigeria, Chad Republic. There are 50 million people, stark Muslims and animists. And he said, he is waiting to see the first Nigerian that we join them in the harvest among the Pashtuns. You cannot go to the Pashtuns as a conventional missionary. I thank God I am in a teaching hospital. So I have a lot of medical people to carry away when I'm going from here. I'm going to hire one luxurious. Come and pack you. Are you ready? Mommy is laughing here. Do you know how much you are needed in several nations of the world? No country is closed to God, yet close to 4 million people, 4 billion people. Are headed to an eternity without God. And about 2 billion live without the reach of a living gospel witness. What that means is this. About 2 billion of that 4 billion live in places where they are cut off from the reach of a living gospel witness. The operating laws in the places where they live does not allow the existence of such things. Are you with me? The only way for the gospel to penetrate those regions is through the people that we call tent makers. It's for great commission Christians to use indirect means to introduce the kingdom of God. How does he work? He's American. You need to see him dress up. When he finishes dressing up, you will mistake him for one Afghanistan. Have you watched those Afghanistan when they wrap their head with that big turban? He will dress up just exactly like one of them. His wife is a medical doctor. She practices in one hospital there, and he teaches sciences, physics, chemistry, biology in an A-level school. That is how they could live in that region. The timely completion of the Great Commission is not an option for the church. It is a command. And why regular missionaries, why professional missionaries have done and are still doing a remarkable job of spreading the good news, especially during the past 2 centuries of Christian mission globally, we still have about 2 billion people without the reach of a living gospel witness. Most of these 2 billion people live in countries that are referred to as restricted access countries. Countries where access restricted. Hello? Access to those countries are what? Restricted. We call them restricted access countries. Or the other word we use is creative access country. For you to gain access, you've got to be creative and to use indirect ways to penetrate those countries. Have you been wondering how God could use your skill or profession to more directly spread His kingdom in the world? You don't have to be out of the marketplace to participate in the mission of God. Hello? I was in Thailand embassy recently to get a visa to go to Thailand. Thailand is a Buddhist country. When I got to Bangkok, their capital, right in the airport, it was a big Buddhist statue, and they put a python, and it's not a live python, but the image of a python with the mouth open like that. I said, how do you welcome somebody to your country with something like this? And with a live python with mouth open. So I faced that python and I began to speak against that, the spirit controlling those things. Every restaurant you will see right in front of our hotel, you see idols, statues, you know, and they are putting red oil and banana in front of them. Hotel, good hotel, standard hotels. Every restaurant, once you enter and turn, you will see a Buddhist statue. Beloved, the awakening to the gospel that we see in our neighborhood is not representative in many parts of the world. There was a time I led a team of students to Niger Republic. And when we got to Niger Republic, we discovered that the sister group of Knifers in Niger Republic, the entire movement, they are not up to one activity wing in some of our big universities. At that time, the prayer band at the University of Ibadan, there were about 300. It was a serious meeting. You don't joke. It's not a place for people who are not decided. You've got to count the cost and be interviewed, and then you join. And when you join, you know that you are in for business. And they go inside the woods to go and pray. It was a thorough training ground. Many of our universities, we have, you know, activity wings that runs into hundreds. The entire movement is not the same as one fellowship, but it's not even up to one of our big activity wings. We sat with them, asked me the executive committee members. I was expecting to see Bible study secretary. I was expecting to see prayer secretary, evangelism secretary, those key areas. Of course, they had a prayer coordinator, but they had some other funny executive committee. That is just as close. I'm just giving you an example that the seeming revival you see around is does not represent what is happening in many of these countries. I have a map with clear statistics of countries in Africa that are over 90% Muslims. And they are about 15. In terms of population, that are over 90% Muslims. It was with joy when I went for a meeting in Malta and people came from Morocco. People came from Mauritania. You know, Mauritania for 1,000 years withstood the gospel. And they celebrated the fact that the gospel could not penetrate Mauritania in 1,000 years. To the glory of God, there are now churches coming up within Mauritanians. Western Sahara, you know, there are several of these. We have a brother in Libya who is from Aba. He is in Libya selling batteries, new and used batteries. His wife is a teacher. She teaches at one international school. And God is using him to plant house churches among native Libyans. I actually wanted to call him today to bring fresh information to you. When we finished in the morning, I was a bit tired. And I couldn't put myself together to be able to. I even forgot. He wrote back and said, can he get 5 Nigerian families to come over to Benghazi? He is in Benghazi. Since Muammar Gaddafi was killed, that nation has been in war. Different militia groups. Different armed, thoroughly armed militia groups. They've taken over their main airport in Tripoli. There was a time they abducted the president, one of the militia groups, and it took some time before they could release him. Imagine Boko Haram abducting our president and just deciding to have mercy on us and say, okay, you can have him back. And the state military could not do anything. That's the state of things. There is so great need, people of God, across the world. Without going far, we have issues at home in our neighborhood. But going far, you will then begin to see some of us, we have a wrong perspective of the harvest because see churches filled up in eastern Nigeria and some of what you hear that people go for Holy Ghost convention and there were 3 million people. So that's quite a crowd. Those kind of things is just one in a thousand. There are places where such things does not exist. And we have millions of eternal souls locked up behind locked reach of the gospel. It will take some daring men and women to go behind the iron curtain and preach and bring the witness of Christ to them. Are you a student, an artisan, a graduate? Many of the job needs in Nigeria is because of lack of information and lack of vision. Who is a tent maker? A tent maker is simply a Christian professional, a businessman or woman, or an artisan who supports himself or herself in order to reach a people of a different culture with the gospel by integrating work and witness. It has been observed, and I want you to know that out of about 10 people that comes forward to say, I want to serve God in missions, only one possibly ends up in the mission field. Lots of other issues comes up, part of which is support, finance. A tent maker has the advantage supporting yourself. Tent makers are great commissioned Christians who use their business or their employment to further the work of church planting or other kingdom services. They use their work, they use their employment. You could be employed by a multinational company. Or you could just have a business. Some of our brothers and sisters in business, you can actually have a branch of your business in some of these countries. The only way you'll be given a license of registration, an entry visa, is when the purpose of your going is business. But because you are a great commissioned Christian, bubbling the passion of God's glory covering that land, there is no way you will be there without being an influence of God. Thank you, please. Tent making in missions is undertaken by Christians whose presence in another culture is secured by their workplace identity. The security for you is your workplace identity. And whose intention in such countries is to act to share the gospel in that setting. Hallelujah. That term originated from the New Testament, especially in Acts of the Apostles chapter 18. Let somebody read verses 1 to 3. Acts of the Apostles 18, verses 1 to 3.
Acts Acts of the Apostles 18, verse 1 to 3. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. Because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to leave Rome, Paul went to see them, and because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and walked with them.
Amen. See, Paul finds employment and fellowship in making and selling tent on the mission field as he preaches the gospel. And that's why he could tell the elders of the Ephesian church in Acts chapter 20, verse 34 and 35, he said to them, you yourself know how that these hands of mine ministered to my necessity. Amen. Though a New Testament phenomenon, the concept can be traced right through Scripture, the whole Testament as well. God asked Moses what Moses had in his hands. When Moses was told to go and lead Israel out of Egypt, and he came up with his complaint, God asked him, what do you have in your hand? Hallelujah. Moses said a rod. And that was what identified Moses as a professional shepherd. So I want to let you know that Moses, by that rod that he had, was a professional shepherd. God told Moses to cast down his rod. That is to submit that rod to him. Brothers and sisters, God will have you to submit your business, your profession to him. Let so that he can use it to advance his global agenda in bringing the blessings of redemption to those who have been walled off from the reach of the gospel. When Moses did, God used the rod for a purpose Moses could never have imagined. It became the primary tool with which he carried out ministry and performed miracles. Amen? And God is calling for people in this sanctuary tonight who will surrender their businesses and skills to him for his kingdom service. God wants your life and businesses to make eternal impact. He wants your business, your vocation, to make eternal sense. God desires that there will be a greater, global, eternal purpose to your business, to your skill, to your vocation. You can take note of Amos 7, 14 to 15. And Matthew 17, 24 to 27. The current world situation has made tent making an essential strategy in penetrating
mission's final frontiers. There are thousands of people groups that still lack a viable Christian presence in their midst. One of such are the Pashtuns. There are several others and thousands that still lack a viable Christian presence. The political and religious situation does not favor if Professor Sam Ike is to go there, he will need to remove his collar and put on his stethoscope. He will need to remove his collar and put on stethoscope. With that, he can enter virtually anywhere. Healthcare workers rank as number one among the needs in several of these countries across the world. I'm going to read out some mails that I got about some opportunities that are available at the moment. There is nowhere where God divides the work you do into secular and sacred. I'm not sure I finished the story concerning my experience at the embassy. When I met this young man in the embassy, he told me that he wants to resign and go into mission. I said, what? You want to resign from here and do what? Go into mission. So I listened to him. So I said to him, have you considered that this could be a mission field? He also staggered back to take a look at me again. Is there any way we think about it? When I went the following day to pick up my passport, he thanked me profusely. He said he thought about what I said and thanked God that he met me, that he shared the goings on in his heart. I just didn't feel it was thinking right. Some people will need to leave secular work, but certainly not everybody. You don't have to be out of the marketplace in order to participate in the mission of God. You don't. Right in your shop, wherever that is, there are missions opportunities there. And God wants you to be a person of influence. See, one thing with influence is this. If you don't influence, you will be influenced. There are no vacuum. And you are in a position of influence on account of your relationship with Jesus Christ and your access to the authority of the name of Jesus. Amen. That puts you in a position of influence. Majority of us are too passive that our relationship to Jesus Christ does not go with us to the marketplace. I thank God that that brother is still back in the embassy. I have his number and his email address. And I told him, I'm going to let you know when we have short-term mission exposure, you will plan your leave there and you will come out and take part in that. But don't resign. Have you considered that Thailand is a Buddhist country? Most of the people that are coming to serve in these places, they are not Christians. Have you considered that God may want to use you to be a witness to them? And that is mission. It is not until you follow me to, you know, we went to some field among the Kambari people. But the name, one place is Gongo Maliki. In fact, some funny, strange names. We went to look at where some of our missionaries are. And it was a good experience. I lost 2 brand new tires. When they carried me on bike, there was a place we parked. It was bike. I fell down 2 on bike. It was good. But we got there. And we saw what price people are paying with joy for the sake of the kingdom. And we also saw needs. Need for education. Even corpus are not willing to go and serve there to teach in those interior places. We just got money to send to buy a bicycle. We saw there's a missionary. The moment I left, I said, we'll keep praying and looking out for support. There is no way you need a motorbike that can traverse this terrain. The one they had was just giving up and keep working on it. You don't need those things. I want you to know that nowhere did God divide the work we do into secular and sacred. It has to do with where is your heart. An opportunity like a barbing saloon can become a sacred ground. I know of somebody who went into Niger and opened a barbing saloon. Did a feasibility study and discovered there is no standard barbing saloon, and opened that as a missionary. Don't tell me there's nothing you can do. There's a whole lot that can happen. Lots of Filipinos are in the Middle East serving as nannies. The wealthy Arab people, they put their children in care of these nannies. They do menial jobs, but use the opportunity to engage these children with the gospel of the kingdom. There's a lot going on, people of God. And God will want you to just ask yourself, is this all that I can amount to for the kingdom of God? Is there something in my hand that I need to recognize? Is there a skill? Is there a potential? It may not even be what you studied if you go to school. that people go to school to do something and they are doing something else completely. It is a bad theology to say that to make Jesus happy is to go into full-time ministry. It's a bad theology. Jesus is interested in how you can bring the values of his kingdom to bear in the places where you are located. And if in the process you come under a burden to leave that for other services, so be it. But you are not irrelevant where you are. There is an opportunity close to you which you need to identify and leverage on. Amen. And that is the way to release the vast untapped mission potentials within the church. You have skill in electrical things, you know, electrical work, fittings. Maybe you are a painter. You sell paints and you can paint houses. I'm saying to you, beloved, tonight, nothing is irrelevant. There's nothing that God cannot use if yielded to him, if submitted to him. And the challenge tonight is for you to submit your skill. Submit that which is in your hand to Jesus. There are places where we have opportunity for those wanting to go for postgraduate studies. You've done your first degree here. Maybe you need to explore going to another place for your postgraduate where you can be a witness for Christ. The brother told us how he did a doctorate program. He really didn't quite need it, but he needed to stay back in an Arab culture in northern Sudan in order to be able to learn a bit more of the Arab culture so that he can serve them. And that was what he did. I want you to take note of the following. Some recent email that I got, you won't be able to take note. You see, what we're going to happen is that through our venerable Samike, you can make known your interest and we can relate back to you. I just want to read a few opportunities that are available at the moment. There's opportunity for teachers and preschool workers. 4 spots are open for this position. Only trained and qualified personnel need apply. Proficiency in English is a must. These are 1 to 2 year opportunities. But look at the condition. Workers will need to raise funding for housing and all agency sending costs, health insurance and flight. You need to be able to transport yourself there. You need to be able to raise something towards your accommodation. But this work, when you do it, they are going to pay you. And what they are going to pay you can also sustain you in maintaining. See, one other thing I need to mention is this. Most of these are not highly paid jobs. If your goal is looking for money, where to hit it big, these are not the opportunities. It's not where to hit it big. Do you understand me? Another place. Two long-term positions are open for this. A photographer and graphic artist stroke designer. You know, I told you, you think that all these things is only the doctors and nurses that can do it. A photographer, designer, and artist. These positions are tent-making positions. This business is beginning to mature, which means that the ability to make a living is just beginning to materialize. Workers will need to be supported from home in the short term. People interested in this will need to be supported on the short term because the business is just maturing. You see, for most of these, the goal is not the money that you're going to get. But subsequently, it's going to provide a means of sustainability there. But it is with a kingdom agenda in mind. There are other people needed, sociologists, social worker, psychologist, music therapist, art therapist, small business developer, vocational skills developer for prisoners, palliative care, medical doctor, medical administrator, psychologist, special educator, physical therapist, speech therapist, nurse, sports therapist, heart therapist, child development specialist for family response. You are listening to me, Ba? Most of these I've read to you, they are from just one country, Tunisia. Tunisia is in North Africa. Tunisia is predominantly Islamic with a fledgling Christian population. There was a time, there was opportunity for 12 placement for postgraduate students. Once they can pay their tuition, accommodation was guaranteed that time. I don't know whether that opportunity still exists now. That was about 2 years ago. And when you go for your postgraduate studies in those places, you become a witness in those settings. Mission's final frontiers. The frontiers of the unfinished task. The places where we are to make disciples, those nations, many of these are restricted access countries. It would take great commission Christians with skill to volunteer to serve God in those settings. You see, when your goal is not the money to make, God does not leave you there stranded. God is always ahead of the way. But when the goal is how to make it big, then you are disqualified. It is very unlikely that God is even going with you. You may just be on your own. Working for God and not with God. Beloved, that is just one of the ones I have. There's another one I have here in Turkey. A K-12 teacher. We have at least 3 spots open for teachers in Turkey. God is opening many doors for ministry in this predominantly Muslim nation. They say that schools will even reimburse airfare. Teaching is approximately 25 hours per week and curriculum is provided. There's an opportunity in China. There's opportunity in Vietnam and several other, Cambodia and so on. Beloved, what we are saying tonight in summary is this, because we need to begin to close. Tent making enables the non-Christian, to see Christians in action. To see the love of God lived out day by day. Tent makers can shine for Christ in what they are and are able to meet and witness to millions of people who will not go anywhere near a religious professional. A brother in North Africa, he was like a full-time worker, and his wife a lecturer in the university in a country in North Africa. He said in their 4-year work, he has not interacted with 200 unsaved Arabs, but his wife, who is not quote and unquote a missionary, because she is teaching in the university, meets thousands of them. They come through our course. She had access to them as a lecturer. And you see, this is how we get it wrong. We give him, who is in the field, the title of a missionary. And we don't give his wife that title because she's teaching the university. But meanwhile, she has access to thousands of them. Now, who is the one doing mission out of the two of them? So, we need, beloved, to know that tent making, see, most of the countries that are closed, they are countries that have great social needs. That developing services, being available to provide services, can make a huge difference. And you see, NEMA just inaugurated the Southeast Zone last year. And part of our motivation is that we have millions of Christians in Southeast Nigeria, enterprising, who are in the different corners of the globe. There was a time I led a team of students to Niger Republic, and we drove somewhere and we had problems with our vehicle. As we were looking, somebody showed up. He said, this one doesn't look like a Nigerian. And one of us from the east the man just came alive. And that was how we knew that our Nigerian brother, you need to know that angle. It was an interior. What was he doing there?
But he was the one that was able to help us solve our problem. So you people, you are widely traveled. And as you go into the nations, may you go with the gospel. May you go to represent Christ. May you go to further the interest of the kingdom. And may money not distract you from a kingdom agenda. Hallelujah. I'm going to just allow, I know what I've said may raise some questions in some people's heart. Do I have questions? Is there someone that is beautiful? Don't even think about it. There's no question. So that's good. We'll just go on. If you do have, please feel very free to meet with us. And maybe tomorrow you can project my address, especially email. Email and let's know your interest. We will be able to link you with people who can engage you and find out more about what you feel God is laying on your heart to do. God has positioned us in the midst of opportunities in different parts of the world, and we can direct to say, try this way, try that way. But many of these require that you need to make some financial preparation even before you can get in there. And like I said, it is not a money-spinning project. If you're looking for where to escape to go and make it big, that is not what we are talking about. Amen. As I close, I want you to read that Matthew 17, 24 to 27. Let somebody read it as I close.
Matthew 17, verse 24. After Jesus and his disciples arrived in Capernaum, the collectors of the two drachma tax came to Peter and asked, "Doesn't your teacher pay the temple tax?" "Yes, he does," he replied. When Peter came into the house, Jesus was the first to speak. "What do you think, Simon?" he asked. "From whom do the kings of the earth collect duty and taxes? From their own sons or from others?" "From others," Peter answered. "Then the sons are exempt." Jesus said to him, "But so that we may not offend them, go to the lake and throw out your line. Take the first fish you catch, open its mouth, and you will find a 4-drachm coin. Take it and give it to them for my task and yours."
What made Jesus Christ to ask Peter to go and do that? No. Not just that. Why was Peter the person? Who wants to help me? Why was Peter the person that was told to go and respond to that challenge they were faced with? Sorry? He was just a disciple, but it was more than that. Sorry? He has the skill. He has what? The skill. Brothers and sisters, I want you to look within yourself tonight as we pray. What can your life amount to? What more can your life amount to?
in the business of the kingdom of God. What do you have that you need to surrender? God's global purpose. How are you occupying in the positions where you are at the moment? I'd like us to bow our head to pray. I still want you, before we get into praying, for you to ask yourself, what is that in my hand? Lord, what is it in my hand that I really need to be conscious of that can be something of value, of great value to your kingdom? How may my life count in the furtherance of your global agenda? Beyond what I'm doing, how can my life make eternal sense? How can my vocation, make eternal sense? Lord, what do I need to do beyond where I am, beyond what I am doing? What is your call upon my life? What is your call upon my life? Lord, what are you saying to me? I'd like you to pray. Lord, what is your call upon my life? What is your call upon my life? Lord, how can I make my life count more in your eternal purpose? The Bible says to everyone, grace has been given according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There is a measure of God's grace upon your life. You are not without a measure of the grace of God. How can this count for God's eternal purpose? All I'm asking that you do tonight, as we close this meeting, is to rededicate your life to God. A song says, take my life and let it be. It's a yieldedness of all that you are and have. And say, Lord, I give it to you. Lord, whatever you will, I am ready to follow. I am ready to do your bidding. I'm ready to go the way you lead. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to Him. I freely give. I will. Oh.
Surrendering to Jesus tonight. Jesus Christ is waiting. Is waiting for your surrender. For your surrender to Him. I want all heads bowed. I want us to recognize the solemnity of this hour. There is what is called business as mission. Palm. Doing business as mission. There is marketplace missions. There is tent making. And several ways in which we can identify and serve God's global purpose. Are there people here tonight? And you feel God is calling you to represent Him better in your duty post. To lift high the banner of His name in your places of work, of business. You want to make a commitment that the story will be different from tonight onward. The story will be different. You want to say to Jesus, "Count on me. Count on me for your kingdom. Count on me for your kingdom." If you are saying that tonight, I'd like you to stand up where you are seated. I want to pray for you. You're a professional and you are making a commitment that Jesus should count on you for His kingdom. In the place where He has placed you. Stand on your feet where you are. I want to pray for you. You want to fly the banner of the name of Jesus higher than it has been. You want to fly His banner in your place of work, vocation, studies. You want to be a missionary. A great commission person right there. That is your commitment. You are saying to Jesus, the story will be different. From tonight, because you are there, His banner will not suffer loss. I want to pray with you. Thank you for standing. Thank you for standing. Let us sing that song once again. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give.
I will ever love and trust.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
I surrender all.
To live for Jesus.
To live for Jesus. I have decided to live for Jesus. I have decided to live for Jesus. No turning back.
Can you just raise your right hand with me? Eternal Father, behold your servants. Behold their commitment to lift high your banner. Behold their commitment to serve the interest of your kingdom in their respective spheres of influence. Behold their commitment to be a great commission believer, to further the interest of the kingdom of God in their respective places of work, studies, vocation. I pray for them, Jehovah God. You are He who can bless, who can make our commitment come true. I commend your people to you. You know their hearts, you know the different context in which they are. As they make this commitment here tonight, may you uphold them in this commitment. May you keep them steadfast and unmovable, abounding in your work. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Jehovah God, I pray for them that as opportunities open up to them, you will grant them the skill, the wisdom, all that it takes to take advantage of those opportunities and to declare the gospel in earnest. I pray that we bless their witness in their respective places of work, in their respective vocation, studies, schools, in the different places, Lord, where they stand. I pray that you will bless their witness in the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask Almighty God that from this evening forward, Jehovah God, you will make them fruitful. They will be fruitful in their service to your kingdom. As they embody your love, as they embody your compassion in their respective places of work, Father, you will open opportunities to them and you will bless their engagement of those opportunities. I ask that each one of these your servants will be fruitful in the work of your kingdom and that their joy in you will be full. Lord, I pray that you will use them to advance your kingdom. You will use them to promote your glory. And that together, Father God Almighty, we will move forward the agenda of the kingdom of God and bring the knowledge of the glory of God to cover the world as the water covers the sea. Have your way, mighty Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Please have your seat. And just a final prayer. Can we quickly bow our head? A final prayer. Just bow your head. My God is a miracle God. My God is a miracle God. He will never fail. He has never failed. He will do what he says he will do. He will do what he promised to do. I can see him working in my favor. Yes, I can see him opening my miracle. I can see him, oh yeah, fighting all my battles. Yeah, he will do what he says he will do. He will do what he promised to do. I want to pray your ear tonight. Bible says in the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. And at the right hands of God are pleasures forevermore. The Bible says upon Mount Zion, there shall be deliverance and holiness. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. That songwriter says, I can see him walking in my favor. I can see him bringing in my miracle. I can see him fighting my battle. Are there battles that need the intervention of heaven? If you have a battle around you that requires the intervention of heaven, I'd like you to stand on your feet. I want to pray. If you don't have, please just say it. You understand what I'm saying? You have an issue around you, a battle. You are faced with that requires an intervention of heaven. That's what I have instruction to address tonight. Thank you, Jehovah. Mahatakene subrikatamaha. Eketutu nekumu sadaya koteto. Binikampakus liketo kapalidi. Leo sakutke iprinegit kamu salia toku bagata. Binole sokataku mekinga lita musu. Belose koto ruangi dike balikamu kuseketo mukatia. Limpa ludakutu mekenelo toto rohaga itke penisu muka na sose tekitako to mayadi skupu nukatema luba sahada kle tekatutu malipa los katamahali niketoti maang kariba sopregete. Can you just raise your right hand with me. Almighty God, the great and mighty God who dwells in Zion, we worship you. The things that are impossible with men, they are possible with you. The Bible says with you all things are possible. Ah, Lord God, you who have made the heavens and the earth by your great power. Nothing is too difficult for you. Thank you, God Almighty, for your presence in this sanctuary tonight. Your presence is a presence of victory. Your presence here tonight is a presence of victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would like to congratulate some people here tonight. Because the Most High is in his temple. And is here on your behalf. Is here to fight your battle. Hallelujah. Shout with me, Hallelujah! 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 Amen. The battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you that you are in charge. You are in charge of these situations. You know them. All things are open to you with whom we have to do. You know the specific issues. You know the specific circumstances requiring your intervention. Thank you, Father. Let your omnipotence dawn upon every of this situation that the joy of your people may be full. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Jehovah. Satan, I rebuke you. I rebuke you by the authority of the resurrected, the reigning King of Zion. I rebuke you over the situations of these people of God. Wherever you are hiding, I destroy your influences in Jesus' name. Every satanic influence compounding your situations. Every resistance from the pit of hell to your advancement, to the issues for which you are standing up, I rebuke the devil tonight in Jesus' name. It is written, let my people go, that they may serve me. I bind the powers of Pharaoh over every situation where there is an oppressor, an oppressing force or power holding people down from going forward to God's purpose and destiny for their lives. I break the powers of those oppressors. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. By the exercise of the key of David, I open your closed doors. Amen. By the exercise of the key of David, I open your closed doors. Amen. I declare tonight in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that your door is open. Your door of victory and of favor is opened. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Brothers and sisters, I want to announce to you that the Lord has risen on your behalf. And victory is yours in Jesus' name.